We see the resurrection means everything. It means everything. Because it affirms everything Jesus said. It affirms everything the scripture said about him. That he is both Lord and Christ. That he gave himself as a sacrifice for sin. That he was raised on the third day. For it was impossible for death to hold him.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, there are a lot of reasons for us to lose hope today, between the ongoing rise of terror around the world and the erosion of our Christian roots here in America, the future can begin to look fairly dim.
You know, Dave, indeed it does look dim if we focus on these external things around us, those things that press in on us through the media, the internet, or even our own experience. If we focus on those, we can lose hope. Now, there's only one way and one place where we can find true hope. And today, we're going to talk about where true hope is found. Our text is Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archive broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Christ had declared multiple times and even taught them back in Galilee that he would die and be raised from the dead on the third day. And notice what he says, he is risen just as he said. His word is absolutely true. It's the third day he did it just as he said. And he invites them to look at the place where Jesus had lied. Why? To show he's not there. It's that simple. Now, some of you might also think that the angel may have rolled away the tomb so that Jesus could get out. That's nothing further from the truth. I believe the stone was rolled away so that people could see in that he had risen from the dead. You see, Jesus, as we'll see later on in his resurrection body, glorified, could walk through walls. The tomb was no big deal for him. When he rose from the dead, he just went right out. We see. So first of all, the most important thing out of all of this is the fact he has risen. And this is crucial. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important thing here. And the implications are massive for each and every person who has ever lived on this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's turn there for a minute because I want to show you some of those implications. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul has declared the gospel that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that he was buried, and then he rose from the dead. And then he goes on to confront some who say the resurrection has not taken place, or that men are not raised. And he goes to the logical conclusion, well, if men are not raised, then Christ isn't raised because God became a man. And he goes through a hypothetical discussion on what would happen if Jesus had not been raised. The logical consequences of not having a resurrected Savior. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ is preached that he is raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Because he died, right? He did die. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is empty or vain. And your faith is also empty or vain. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God because we witnessed against him that he raised him. Raise Christ, for whom he didn't raise, and that's hypothetical. If, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. You see, the resurrection is of crucial importance. You see, because if Christ isn't raised, then his sacrifice certainly was not accepted by the Father. He died for our sins, but as we will see from Romans chapter 4, he was raised for our justification. He was raised that it would prove everything he said was true, that he was who he said he was, and that the Father did accept the sinless, spotless Lamb of God's sacrifice. He needed to be raised. And if he wasn't raised, what you believe is worthless. You're still in the main thing, in your sins. And I mentioned this earlier, sin is our problem. Sin is our problem. Isaiah would write that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He died for our sins, but it is crucial to recognize that he needed to be raised from the dead. You see, if Christ isn't raised, then we're still in our sins because his sacrifice was not accepted. He wasn't who he said he was. He didn't do what he said he would do. He had to be raised. He had to be raised. Now, there are some other passages that give us the significance and importance of the resurrection. I want to briefly talk about those, but I want to move back to our passage. If you turn to Romans chapter 1. You see, the Lord of the universe, the great I am, humbled himself and took on human flesh. And when he was in his humanity, you couldn't see anything special about him apart from the truth that he brought forth. He was full of grace and truth. He manifests the true character of God because he was God. And the miraculous things that he did by the Spirit from his Father, we see. He humbled himself, becoming a man. And you might be mistaken to think that he's not the Lord just because of his humility. But we see the resurrection proves that he is God also. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning, this is Jesus, concerning his son, who was born a descendant of David. He came in the flesh, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead was a declaration that Jesus is God the Son. He needed to rise from the dead. We know in Acts chapter 2 that his resurrection also reveals his sinlessness because death could not hold him. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, as Peter shares the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, and he shares Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord at my presence, for he is my right hand, that I shall not be shaken. The living God could not be held by death. The sinless Son of God who became flesh could not be held by death. It's impossible for it to hold him. The resurrection is absolutely crucial. Acts chapter 17, up a little farther, as the Apostle Paul moves from his heart that is grieved over all the idolatry in Athens. And he shares to those who are interested about hearing new things. He shares to them the truth of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ because he is the judge as proved by the resurrection from the dead. Acts 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. All everywhere. That's everybody. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. By the resurrection is proof that Jesus Christ is God and that he is the judge and that all will stand before him, as we see. And therefore, all men need to repent. You see, sin is your problem. You will stand before Jesus Christ and he will judge you for your sins. But yet the same judge died for your sins and paid the price if you will trust in him. And then we see in Romans chapter 4, which I had alluded to earlier, turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Now, not for his sake was it written that it was reckoned to him, speaking of Abraham, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, speaking of righteousness. As those who believe in him, that's Christ, or believed in the Father, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. That's speaking of Christ, who was delivered up because of our transgressions. Jesus died for our sins. But notice what it says, and was raised because or for our justification. You see, the resurrection proves the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice and that we are justified because of what Jesus Christ did for us. It is absolutely crucial. And folks, the resurrection means everything. If you do not believe it, you are not saved. You are not saved. You cannot be saved if you do not believe that God took on human flesh, that he bore your sins in his body, that he died and he rose from the dead. And let me prove that to you. Romans chapter 10. Turn there. Romans chapter 10. It is mandatory to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you'll find those disciples who had heard and yet had a relationship with him, when they were confronted with the reality of it, they believed. The guards, evidently, even though they saw it, didn't believe, as we'll see. And they took a bribe later on, as we'll see, even having witnessed what they had witnessed. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you're preaching. He quotes Deuteronomy. The word of faith was preached back then. You weren't saved by keeping commandments in the Old Testament. You were saved by keeping the commandment singular, by turning to the Lord. That commandment is not far. It is in your mouth. It is close. It is, as he says here, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which you're preaching. Now he says specifically that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The connection is you need to believe that he died for your sins and that he did raise because he's God and the sacrifice was accepted. If you believe that, you trust in him, you confess him as Lord, he will save you. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you are still in your sins and sin and death are master over you. But Jesus Christ was gracious and he went and died for you and he offers you eternal life. So with that in mind, we see the resurrection means everything. It means everything because it affirms everything Jesus said. It affirms everything the scripture said about him, that he is both Lord and Christ, that he gave himself as a sacrifice for sin, that he was raised on the third day, for it was impossible for death to hold him. And that same passage in 1 Corinthians, you don't need to turn there. The Apostle Paul says in verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. It's not hypothetically that he didn't. He has been raised from the dead. Christ is the first fruits of those who are asleep. He assures our resurrection, folks, those who trust in him. So back to our passage in Matthew. Simple statement, he is risen. He is risen. It means everything. It means everything. Now, verse 5, Matthew chapter 28. And the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. The resurrection means everything. Do you believe in what Jesus Christ did and who he is and that he rose from the dead? Now let's take a look and let's learn as we finish up from the women's response in verses 7 to 10. I'll start in verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. A lot of running going on, isn't it? When there's good news, you want to get it there fast, right? They did hear, as we see, they were commanded by the angel to do what? Go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. That's the important point. Tell them he has risen from the dead. And then also he says, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And it's interesting. They have appearances of Christ resurrected before they go to Galilee. But this is pointing to and alluding to the point where he would be with all those and give his great commission in front of many people. That's the main point. But yet he would appear before this point to them, as we will see. They're told to go, report it, and tell them that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. They will see him. And what do they do? Verse 8. And they departed quickly. They obeyed from the tomb with fear, obviously having been spoken to by an angel. The situation, Jesus Christ, whom they thought was dead, is now raised. And notice, with great joy. A real understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done brings great joy. We are the only people who can be fearful and to have concerns, but also have great joy. Believers have great joy in Christ no matter what the circumstances. Great joy. And ran to report it to his disciples. Now, evidently, on a side note, they're running, and Peter and John are running. So they're now running to the tomb. You got this distance here. Let's just look at that really quick in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 4. And the two were running together. The other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter. John was younger, obviously, and he was faster. And came to the tomb first. And stooping in and looking, he saw the linen wrappings were lying there, but did not go in. Simon Peter, therefore, also came following him and entered the tomb. Simon just went right in. And he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up, or not really rolled up, but has rolls in it. It wasn't like it was rolled up, by the way, but rolls in it, placed by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb entered also, and he saw and believed. You see, you look at the linen wrappings, and Jesus just went right through it. And John saw it. And he believed. He believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, he must rise from them. He didn't know the implications, but he believed. He believed. So the disciples went away to their own homes, verse 10. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. Mary still hasn't got it yet, right? And so she wept. She stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld two angels in white, one at the head and one at the foot. And there's some that say this is reminiscent of the two angels at the end of the ark of God's mercy seat. Say there's two angels here, one at the head and one at the foot where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord." Remember, she came, looked in, thought he got stolen, ran back, told Peter and them. And now she's back at the tomb. And I don't know where they have lain him. While she said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I will ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. We have the other ladies running with fear and great joy, and notice what happens to them. Back in our passage, verse 9. And behold, now they're obeying the Lord, right? They're obeying the angel, the Lord to the angel. They're obedient. They're going to run and tell the disciples with fear and great joy. And notice what happens. This is wonderful. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. This is a fascinating portion of scripture. Because this term greet speaks of a common greeting. It literally could be translated "hi" or "hello," or in our vernacular, "how's it going?" And this is a common greeting for an extraordinary circumstance. He sees them and he says, "Hi." He greeted them. Why is Jesus so casual? The text doesn't say, but quite possibly he is pointing out the reality that he hasn't changed. He's the same Jesus they were following 3 days before. It's the same Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever. Yes, he was glorified. He did what he said, but it's the same Jesus. And he says, "Hi. Hello." And notice what they do. And they came up and took hold of his feet. Obviously, they're on the ground if they're taking hold of his feet. And by the way, that proves he rose bodily. You could hold him. And I don't have time today to point out where Thomas beheld him, his hand and side, right? Jesus Christ rose bodily. And he's glorified, but rose bodily. And what do? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. They believe. They worshiped the risen Lord. And folks, only God is worthy of our worship. That's what we're doing today. When we came to sing songs and we came to hear his word and praise him and declare his excellencies, we're worshiping Christ. We're worshiping the living God. They worshiped him. How should we respond to the reality of what Jesus Christ has done for us and who he is? We should worship him and obey him. Do you believe the truth? It leads to obedience. It leads to worship. What's your life like? Do you live a life of worship of the living God? I'm not talking about rituals. I'm talking about, as Paul would say to the Romans, offering yourself as a living sacrifice each day. Lord, I'm yours to use, which is our spiritual service of worship. Do you desire to come here together as a corporate body and worship Christ and give him glory? It should change the way we are together. We serve a risen Lord, and that means everything. He is not here. He has risen. I began speaking of hope. Some of you are still in your sins, and you really have no hope if you were to die today. And by the way, people die all the time. Young, old, middle-aged, people die. If you were to die without Christ, you would be eternally judged and separated from him in punishment forever because of your sin. Everything, every word and deed you'll be judged for. And God is now declaring to all everywhere that they should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through the man, Jesus Christ, having furnished proof by raising him from the dead. That same Jesus died for your sins in your place. And if you trust him, he will forgive you. You will receive his righteousness. And then for those of us who are believers, how does this apply to us? We should be strengthened in our faith. We serve a personal, risen Lord. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yes, he came in human flesh, but his deity was veiled. But it's still the person of Jesus, full of grace and truth, kind, merciful, giving himself for us. We should be strengthened in our faith that he has conquered sin and death.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.